Ariel Castro's life sentence ends in death. The man convicted of kidnapping and raping three women for about a decade commits suicide in his prison cell, say authorities tonight in an exclusive interview with Castro's family. Also ahead, the 30-day rape sentence that caused outrage, a teacher who admitted to raping a 14-year-old student who later killed herself. A judge who suggested the young girl was partially to blame tonight why the case may not be closed after all. We begin, though, tonight with the question of a red line. Who said it? Who crossed it? The politics of it? And what that all means as the United States weighs taking military action in Syria. The red line is, of course, the use of chemical weapons the United States is accusing Syria of using against its own people 2 weeks ago. The use of those chemical weapons violates conventions signed by nearly 200 nations, Syria not included. It's a point President Obama made today at a stop in Sweden on his way to the G20 summit.
I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent and passed a treaty forbidding their use even when countries are engaged in war. Congress set a red line when it ratified that treaty.
So the president says he didn't set a red line. That raised a lot of eyebrows because, keeping them honest, it sounds like that's exactly what he did when you listen to what he said in August of 2012.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. That would change my calculus. That would change my equation.
Both Democrats and Republicans alike have said that the president boxed himself in with that statement last year, so many wondered if today they were hearing Mr. Obama for the first time trying to talk his way out of the standard he himself set. During debate on Capitol Hill today, the number two Republican in the House, Majority Leader Eric Cantor, said any president would have drawn that red line, and Secretary of State John Kerry tried to further drive home the point that it wasn't something the president just made up.
Now, some have tried to suggest that the debate that we're having today is about this president's red line, that this is about President Obama's red line. Let me make it as clear as I can to all of you. That is just not true. This is about the world's red line. It's about humanity's red line, a line that anyone with a conscience should draw, and a line that was drawn nearly 100 years ago, 1925, when the Chemical Weapons Convention was agreed on.
The Secretary Kerry there in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, where he and Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey faced tough questions today. And that was set against a vote by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee passing a resolution authorizing limited military action. Chief National Security Correspondent Jim Sciutto has more.
Today, the Syria debate moved to the less friendly territory of the GOP-controlled House Foreign Affairs Committee. Some members saying the administration wants to do too much, others too little.
Why does America always need to be the world's policeman?
Our enemies really don't know what our foreign policy is. Our friends don't know what it is. And I'm not so sure Americans know what our foreign policy is in the Middle East.
Secretary Kerry was forced even to confront the ghosts of the administration's last troubled Middle Eastern intervention in Libya.
The same administration that was seemingly so quick to involve the U.S. in Syria now was reluctant to use the same resources at its disposal to attempt to rescue the four brave Americans that fought for their lives in Benghazi.
We're talking about people being killed by gas, and you want to go talk about Benghazi.
Absolutely want to talk about Benghazi, because four Americans lost their lives. I have sympathy for the people in Syria. And I do think there should be a worldwide response, but we should act cautiously.
The administration's case remained the same, framing the confrontation with Syria not as a personal test for the president, but for Congress, the country, and the world.
This is not about getting into Syria's civil war. This is about enforcing the principle that people shouldn't be allowed to gas their citizens with impunity. And if we don't vote to do this, Assad will interpret from you that he's free to go and do this any day he wants to.
But many members remain skeptical that even a limited intervention won't embroil the U.S. in the civil war or leave it allied with some of the more radical Islamist elements of the opposition.
Do you implicitly trust these people? Well, that's not my business to trust anybody.
Well, certainly it has to be the business, because you're making decisions to go into war and put American lives at risk. So it's a simple concept. You either trust or do not trust.